was using the Anishinaabeg word or words, I don't know, and then she asked about aspects and said, it's all in there, it's all in there. And when she told me this today, I found that sort of parallels what you've written in that article, that one word entails much more than just sort of the obvious level.
Well, words are like that anyway. There's the surface meaning everybody understands. But then there's two or three other meanings.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of them is Manitou.
Mm-hmm.
It has many meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the context will tell you the precise sense in which that is to be applied. Mushkiki,
mm-hmm.
medicine. No, it is really.
Okay.
Because it's not going to be, medicine, shke, strength, ke, earth, strength
mm-hmm.
of the earth. Then you think about that. How is it application? Here is a person who is weak,
mm-hmm.
debilitated from by disease. To be restored to strength, he's got to get the strength of the earth
mm-hmm.
passed to him through this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what medicine is, the restorer of strength. That's why it's called that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to know the language in order to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hell of a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And this is why, too, the spelling, the orthography, has to follow the prefixes.
Mm-hmm.
They can't, a lot of spelling systems, not the whole bloody thing, they're going at it, horse, behind the cart.
Mm-hmm.
Linguists are coming up with all kinds of damned orthography.
Mm-hmm.
The logical development literature first, then orthography.
Mm-hmm.
It's the writer who's going to do the spelling first.
Mm-hmm.
Orthographers will come along and refine it. And I've got a list of the prefixes.
That's how the orthography of any language establishes itself. That's
how
German orthography was established.
Yeah. But here in Canada,
somebody translated the Bible and then people sort of standardized it. And still they're making changes.
Yeah.
Because the writing comes first. Well, first comes the talking, the speaking, and then the writing.
But of course, that's what's got to happen with people, linguists,
mm-hmm.
who don't speak the damn language. They have to fiddle around. Write texts
mm-hmm.
to further their accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
This is really my thoughts on it, Dan. Gee, I got books in there, Christ, lists of words, that's
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I was able to find out how my language works, because if I'm going to write about the ideas, I've got to know how the language works.
Mm-hmm.
And this debwe and all these terms.
If you come to something like in school days book, is language important there too? Because that's all in English?
Well, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if...
Anishinaabe
language, no.
Yeah.
But anyway, some of the ideas, the attitudes of natives are native, and what the heck? It's tricky to
mm-hmm.
try to get them across in English.
Mm-hmm.
But earlier you mentioned moose meat and wild rice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that fiction? No. When people say, you must have made that up, they do flatter tremendous
mm-hmm.
Imagination. Well, every damn one of them stories was based upon some actual incident. Yeah.
And I guess the same is true with this book, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And that was the latest, last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got the others at home. I didn't look them all around. But this one I really liked. Well, I liked all the books, but this one I think I liked best. Or it was most familiar to me because I read other autobiographies.
Yeah.
And accounts of that, and I also spent a year once in the United States, and I talked to a lot of Native people, especially about their residential school or boarding school experiences there. And you hear a lot of horror stories, but you also hear a lot of humor, and this one stays almost on the humor level, but there is all the hardship and the, some of the meanness is in there too, but it's not sort of the main thing, the main accusation that is flung right
into
the face of the book.
That was not.
But it's there too.
Yeah.
And I talked to Tom King about this, and this is one of the reasons why he liked this writing so very much. He said it's there, but it's not in the aggressive forefront way and say, hey, this is what you've done to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's there too, because this has been done.
Yeah.
But it's not the main issue. Though. It's the story.
See, I don't like doing with us all what has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply a repetition. I want to do something a little different, something that's, you know, hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why the main reason why I took that direction. Also, the former inmates of Spanish were the ones who suggested which stories by recounting these things many times.
Mm-hmm.
You get together. Do you remember that though? Yeah,
this,
I remember.
This,
somebody
the
else.
The union you write about there, that actually happened, right?
Well, yeah, okay. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was partly a joint effort? I mean, you did the writing, but you sort of had input from other inmates.
In the sense that, over, since leaving in 1950,
mm-hmm.
At Cape Croker, there's a number of them
there.
I see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Manitoulin, I see them all the time. When we get together, it's all about them. And certain stories keep recurring.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones
I see.
Mm-hmm. But there were some. And I took the approach from our point of view, the first graduating class who had gone together from 1940 on through to 1950. So that the perspective was narrow, and I didn't want to go into all these damn documents either,
mm-hmm.
because that's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a damn boring book.
Mm-hmm.
It was the school days down in some Indian residential school in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Letters.
Mm-hmm.
Superintendent to the teacher, government, documentary was dull. So I stayed away from that business.
If it's a documentary, it's a documentary of oral history, of those people who were there.
Yeah, and it was boring,
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote this, then there's another footnote. Footnote. So no, I wanted to write something.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you would like to add on anything that you think should be in this book, or something that you would like to say? If I take this back and I teach courses on Native literature over in Germany. And sometimes I take the tapes that I have and play a little so that the people know those are not just characters on a printed page, those are living people. Okay, that's the closest we can get because there aren't very many Native people that we can bring over to talk. So.
I don't. I don't know. There's a hell of a lot of damn things to say, and I'm in a process of saying something right here, and I won't go any further than that, except to say that I hope I can get it done by spring and have it. I would say this. You know, the Yankees are far more generous people than our Canadians. I've had better reception for my books in the States than in Canada. I'll give you, I was on a cross-country tour 2 years ago with this. I ended up in Regina on an open-line talk show. And after an introduction by the master of ceremonies, or the host of the radio show, invited calls. And the first guy that called said, "Why in hell don't you people forget the goddamn past?" Jesus.
You know, mainstream would like to forget the past. Yeah.
But as was his question. And the host asked, "Would you like to reply?" Well, of course, you're out selling a book. Mm-hmm. You're a salesman. You've got to be gracious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to reply to this damn comment as graciously as I could. I had a few other choice damn things to say, but I they wouldn't be conducive toward the sale of books or my reception in other places in town. Then the guy asked the questioner, "Did you read it?" No. But of course, it's convenient for him to say that, convenient for him to forget this thing. Not realizing that if Canadians had recognized some of the grievances and done something about that, would have enhanced the Canadian image, but no. Let me say this, though. The people who are well disposed to minorities, to natives, to a lot of issues, outnumber the rednecks. Now, the rednecks and people who are akin to them are far more aggressive than are
vocal.
Yeah, and far more vocal. And a lot of them use the government, and this is why governments suppress damn things. Governments are instruments of these damn guys, and so that the good guys are very often out shouted by these people. But they're there. There's a hell of a lot of good people out there. Far more, than these other guys. But these guys are, as you described, they're far more vocal. And it's, won't go into any names, but...
I was... if you think of the discussion that's going on in Canada right now about the residential school system, now you yourself, and I know some other people, would be an example where the residential school system apparently hasn't destroyed people or ties. But I think if I live in Regina now and I see from my students, from some of the people, the incredible problems a lot of people have to actually stay together as a family. And if you think of people who, of two generations, sometimes three generations, of people being forced into residential schools and being separated from their kin, what do you expect than to see a lot of social problems, a lot of uprooting happening within that colonial structure, but it's partly also in some cases the destruction of personalities, of One person I talked to, she told me, she said, well, what we learn in residential school is to go like this and to keep everything inside. And then if people now, if they get drunk, out it all comes, because they've learned, that's her way of explaining it. And I think the residential schools perhaps have had an incredible, much more of an impact than I ever thought before I came.
Different ways of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree in those cases where a youngster mm-hmm. was taken too soon
mm-hmm.
from the parents, say age 4, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7. Yes,
mm-hmm.
but not always.
Mm-hmm.
For youngsters above that age, say for example 10, they've been with their parents long enough
mm-hmm.
to have firmed up their character to resist
yeah.
this kind of thing. Although there are questions not so much connected with school, I think all of us there, including orphans, but products of separated families, question, why did they give me away? Did they not like me?
Mm-hmm.
Cast aside. And of course, when you get beaten by the authorities, this feeling is intensified. And there were some people, there are many people who became alienated from their communities, their families, from, a lot of people. But there were other people, I think, a lot of us, I think maybe all of us, were much more resistant
yeah.
afterwards to West Europeanization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should be grateful to the residential schools for that damn thing. But
yeah.
then you see the other damn thing. You can't credit a school for everything,
mm-hmm.
nor can you blame schools for everything. If I taught school for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then these great big lists of Ontario scholars,
mm-hmm.
school claiming credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they should have had a list up there of all the damn failures too. But they couldn't do them with these things.
Yeah.
But somebody asked me one time, and it's a difficult one to answer. What did you learn? What did they instill in me? I think the Jesuits instilled in us a desire to learn more. I think you don't need many lessons in life or from school.
Mm-hmm.
If you learn one, a good one,
mm-hmm.
and if you learn it well and apply it, I think it's they've done something.
All right.
And then maybe from the boys, what did I learn? I think from Frankie Commando, you play your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this general thing, be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Of course it's hard. So, be fair with the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The hell with being objective. There's no such damn
mm-hmm.
thing.
No.
Be fair with the facts.
Yeah.
Be fair with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be okay.
Okay.
But those things, I've asked me to say something further. I think maybe those are the things. some observations.
Okay.
Maybe later on, after you go, you know, I said, God almighty, Jesus, this is what the hell I should have told
you. Well, you see, what will happen, though, is it'll take a while until all this is transcribed. Then you'll get the transcript together with an agreement, which hopefully you'll sign, saying that, and in the agreement there's an offer. It's Fifth House they're going to publish this, right?
Who the hell is it?
That's in Saskatoon, a publisher. They've published quite a few native authors. They published Thompson Highway's play, they published Drew Taylor, they published Maria Campbell's Achimuna, and quite a few, but they publish other books too. And they pay for each contributor, that's the people that I interview, a flat rate for the first edition of $200. And that is for a joint copyright that is the copyright would then be Johnston Lutz for the individual one. And that's for the first edition. And I get out of that, normally as an editor, you get about 4% instead of 10 as an author.
Do you, poor editors?
No. You see, I've written quite a few books, and in Germany, in academia, you never make money on that. In fact, usually it's you who pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
You apply for the grants to pay for it. So this is wonderful, because what I'm getting out of it is not a percentage. In this case, they paid my ticket here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm flying out to Halifax tonight and to meet with Rita Joe. And I also had one airfare to Vancouver 2 months ago to meet with some people there and interview them. So that's what I'm getting out of it. And the you get a transcript, and you can then sit down and chuck out. It's going to be too long anyway. Chuck out parts, rewrite parts, do whatever you like with that, but it's based on this
conversation. My modus operandi, hey, you do that, I'm like an editor, I trust you.
Okay.
Well, all you have to do is look at it and sign the thing and send it back.
I've got this work to do. Sure.
And if I...
No, it's just to give you an option so that I can't edit something into it which you don't like, so I need the consent. And before they print it, they send you a printout too, the proof, so you can just shut them back. It's just a legal matter, because some people are very suspicious, because I'm white, and I'm editing something that native people are doing, and some native writers are very apprehensive.
To me, this is just an interview. I may not sign a damn contract. I just say, I sign contracts for big stuff. For little articles, no. And if I agree...
No, if you don't sign the contract, it's not going to be in there, because that's legally, the publishers wouldn't do that. To put something in that they don't have the copyright for. The final decision rests with
them. Just the way I do it. I deal with the copyright and these contracts. And, help.
No, I'm sure you have no problems there, but some people do, because you probably have more expertise in these matters than any of the other people.
Well, but this is precisely,
I'm sure about that, more than I have.
Yeah.
And I'm apprehensive about that because of the whole appropriation issue.
Sometimes, that's nonsense. I don't even think about it. Not worth.
Would you say that while the tape is going?
Sure.
So?
Sure.
Would you say something about appropriation?
Appropriation. What? Is that then? What the hell? That's too damn restrictive. Because every damned idea that we express has already been expressed and thought of, and all we have to do is give these new expression, new application. That's what the hell happens. Mm-hmm. Hell, I hope if somebody hasn't done it before, does that prevent me from doing it simply because it happens to belong to a German? Supposing that German idea can be expressed in an Indian way, with a different
I think the difference that I would have no bad feelings about that at all.
Yeah.
Anybody can write about
their
own.
But
I think it's maybe a different matter here, though, because you think of the history of native-non-native relations and of colonialism and of the continued sort of appropriation of native materials.
No,
native
that doesn't worry me at all.
But I think that's
it's already been there. Hell, it's up to us. Let's get off our damn butts.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's just write better books than those other guys. That's my attitude.
You know that it's almost literally the same thing that I interviewed some, this was a while ago, some women's literature in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, Aretha Van Herk, I think, was it, she said, you know, the best revenge is, I mean, on the men. She's a sort of convinced feminist to write better books.
Yeah, well, no, that's not...
the best thing is to write well.
Yeah, to write well, to write better, and so there... You know, if these people, anthropologists, all these people, had written so well in appropriating all this place, there would have been nothing for me to do. But they've done it so damn poorly, I've got so damn much work to do. Yeah, I wish they'd get,
I
wish they'd get off their damn asses and, hey, write.
I also wanted to show you something. This is for you, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little series that I edit with our department back home. It's twice a year. We get one issue of the Minority Author. So far we've got four.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first one. That's Joe Bruschek. And it's always bilingual, English and German. A lot of those were done together with the students because translating is the closest reading you can give a text.
Mm-hmm.
And for volume 6, probably we're trying for an anthology and have sort of various contributions by various minority people. This one is native. The second one is a black and Cherokee person. The third one was a black Australian. The fourth one is Kathy Dunsport. She's a Maori author.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth one will be Rolando Hinojosa. That's a novella. He's Chicano.
Yeah.
And it's a non-profit thing. It's the department who pays for the printing, and then we try to sell the copy so we get the money in for the next issue. And then the first one we got on loan, so that's how it operates.
Yeah.
And I'm going around begging people that I interview, if you've got a short piece which you wouldn't mind having translated and included in something that comes out by...
How about this one?
A short piece, I said.
No, a long piece.
A short piece for that anthology. No, we couldn't handle this as a bilingual edition. You mean for translation?
Yeah.
Oh, some of your books have been translated into German already. And I'm pretty sure this will come out too.
When did you do it?
I translated books twice, and I do these things together with the students now.
Yeah.
And I still have one that I originally translated with the students. It came out. It's by Jack Forbes, who's he's a Lenape. He's now in California, and he wrote a book called the Wendigo or the Wendigo Psychosis, a world ruled by cannibals. It's about and we translated that, and it sold very well in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's about colonialism and the use of land or the misuse of land.
Yeah.
And anyway, so they are re-editing that for 1992, and he's added a chapter on Columbus and so on for that year. And I've got to translate that. I promised that to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to do that. I don't know when I'll do it.
No, I've got...
But if you've got short pieces, or a poem, or one story or so,
these are
maybe you want to think
articles. I write down my lectures first.
Yeah.
Master of the Puppet Dancing Williams. But there's a couple hundred pages there, 300 maybe. No, I've got all kinds of stuff for just not for publishers. Hard. Too long for not long enough. I've got one hell of a good story. At least the basis for a good story. But it's not long enough for a short story.
Why don't we give us that?
No, I want to recast it. I'll tell you what happened. I've never taken a writing course. At least, I've never found one that would appeal to me. In October, there was an ad, Story Structure by Robert McKee of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know me? Okay. He gave a 30-hour weekend seminar at the U of T, one of the lecture halls. McKee is a former actor, by his own description, fair to middling fair. Director of a number of operas, plays. Senior story editor, CBS. And now he's got his own firm. And the guy held us for 2-hour lectures, then a break, 15 minutes, 2 more hours. The guy knew what the hell he was talking about. And it's made me take a review what the hell I've been doing. Reviewed what my stories were. And this story, this good story, is not a story yet. So I'm going to have to recast it then to make it a story. And this is why I have to redo a lot of these things.
Well, I only mentioned this so maybe you think about it, and if you find something, if there's no hurry anyway. I'm not going back until the end of March, and before that you'll get the transcript and the agreement, which I will sign.
Well, what I'll do is these damn contracts, publishers' contracts, are always, if they're drafted by the publisher, always in favor of the goddamn publisher. I will not sign something like that. I have an agent, I recast it with the agent. So I don't know how that's going to sit with the publisher, but that's the way I do. That's always the way I've done things. I will do that.
That's all for you.
Yeah.
And we'll see. It's we'll see. I mean, then, and maybe it won't be in there. So then it won't be in there.
I won't take a look at the darn thing, and if the contract needs to be recast and amended a bit.
It is. The idea was that all contributors, regardless of how long the manuscript is or not, they all get the same. And this was an idea that I came up with, and there was another suggestion. Some people have already indicated, if there is another edition and there's an honorarium again, that they'll sort of donate that to a scholarship fund for Native writers.
Oh, God. I went through this damn thing with UBC. I told like hell. So they sent me my check, which is considerable. They wanted me to apply like hell. No, I will look at the thing, and if the publisher feels that they're all going to get the same damn thing, I don't.
So we needn't send it, huh?
Send it. I'll look at it. But simply because the company says you all get the same thing, you all sign the same thing.
It wasn't the company's ideas. It was the idea of several Native authors I talked to. And I thought it was a good idea.
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, you have a look.
No, I go along with it. To me,
it's not a big thing anyway.
No,
I mean, it's not much work.
Yeah.
Okay, it took an hour and a half of your time.
It's, for me, it's a business.
Okay, yeah. You see, that's an approach to writing that I don't have at all, because
yeah.
I've never made money out of writing,
yeah.
never. Always put something in, because it's academic writing, there's no
mm-hmm.
market,
mm-hmm.
so that was never a consideration.
Yeah.
Would you, free of charge, autograph?
Yes. Yeah, I think I would not do too badly if there were not native writers. Me advising them about contracts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the first time that I got a contract from McClellan Stewart, Rizal, of course,
mm-hmm.
and the temptation for new writers, beginning writers, hey, geez, sign it.
Yeah, sure. I get. They want to get
I
published.
I took a look at it. I looked at it. Studied it. Also an approach, don't be afraid to ask, all they can say is no. So I said, look, I'd like to make the following changes.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed, no
mm-hmm.
problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is the you don't sign the copyright away, right? You don't sign... The contract is... You don't sign the copyright away.
You don't.
This
law belongs to you.
Yeah.
But
no, it belongs to both of us. That's what it says
yeah.
in the contract. You can do what you like with
yeah.
it. If you don't grant it, Fifth House will just have paid one trip.
No, I'll take a look at it,
yeah,
see what that damn thing reads.
Okay, now I need a translation.
Okay. The biggest one is about Sandman would mean... I hope may all your aspirations be fulfilled.
Would you change my name? Because I'm not called Helmut. Everybody calls me Helmut. It's Hartmut. And it makes a lot of difference.
Oh.
Because a lot of
yeah.
people call me Helmut, because
yeah.
that's a German name.
You know why? Because
our chancellor.
A guy, Helmut.
Yeah.
Next office
and,
here.
And it's a much more common
sorry.
Name. Hartmut means strong courage.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
when I was born, it was the end of the
yeah.
war, and the bombs were falling on our town.
Yeah.
Hart. I know it's embarrassing, but I'd rather have my name. Especially because our chancellor is also called
yeah.
Helmut, and I don't want to be mixed up with him. At the college, I made a little poster with a picture of Helmut Kohl on it, and say, remember, my name is not Helmut. This picture should be reason enough why I prefer to be called by my name, Hartmut. So, and that got across, so now everybody calls me Hartmut, but
yeah.
the first 2 months
yeah.
it was Helmut all
yeah.
the time. Okay.
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 <How's that>? Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
God, you must be doing one hell of a pile of travel.